Hey, truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past here. Remember Mike Gravel, two-term senator from Alaska, who got into the presidential primaries. He said today, now this was prior to the news that the Republican resistance to Wall Street reform has collapsed. He said earlier today, quote, whenever something comes up that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is opposed to, like finance reform now, he just threatens a filibuster. Then Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid backs down, and pundit after pundit says you need 60 votes to pass it. Baloney. You need 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. But a filibuster is a really costly thing to do. I used to filibuster for 5 months to end the draft in 1971. I succeeded. I'm proud of what I did. I helped end the war in Vietnam. But I paid a price politically and among my colleagues for using the filibuster. The filibuster is a tool you can use for good or for ill. The Dixiecrats used it for bad reasons to delay civil rights legislation. I used it for good to end the Vietnam War. Right now, the vast majority of Americans want strong finance reform legislation. So let the Republicans filibuster and bring the cots out, make the Senate be in session 24 hours a day. The public will rightly view them as regressive and obstructionist, end quote. Mike Gravel, quoted at Institute for Public Accuracy's press release. Now, regarding those Chinese evangelical archaeologists, Michael in Roswell writes, oh yeah, every 10 or 15 years they have to trot out a story about Noah's Ark, probably using the same piece of ossified timber, because the faithful have pretty short memories. This is about branding, not science. It's necessary to provide a very small, relatively rational jumping off place. We found some wood to make great leaps of faith, and it must be from Noah's Ark, to ever more fanciful flights of imagination. Therefore, everything in the Bible is literally true. It doesn't really matter to the faithful. If they believe they can fly up into the heavens and sit on clouds with Jesus as the world is incinerated, they'll believe anything. This is supposed to impress the lay skeptics. Does it compute to them that I could take a gangbanger from L.A., give him a couple hours of instruction in writing narratives, hand him a few magic mushrooms and a fistful of tubes of model hairpin glue and a few yellow legal pads, whisper, tell me about God, in his ear, and end up with something just as scary as Revelation? Nah. Michael and Roswell. Well, that's how John wrote the narrative that is Revelation, the book of Revelation, some people say. He just ate too many of those Negev Desert magic mushrooms. Somebody came by on a camel. Hey, John, check these out. Woo! And John diddeth. All right, what else we got? Oh, yeah. I think I touched on this last night. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get into it at all tonight. Maybe later. Tell you what, we are going to open up the phone lines here during this break, and when we come back, we'll take some phone calls. You want to do that? Huh? All right, we'll do that. What else are we going to do? I don't know. All I know is Kathy and I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to this procedure, and it's got my brain sort of clouded tonight. So let me see here. All right, let's do that. We will take a break momentarily, and when we come back, we'll take some phone calls. What else? Oh yeah, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham. You know who he is. Yeah, you know what's really kind of bothering me. I am not really in favor of outing people unless they are doing things, unless someone knows they're gay or people know they're gay, and the person who is closeted is doing things that harms folks, that harms other people who happen to be gay, then I think the outing is deserved. Lindsey Graham hasn't done that, to my knowledge. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's voted for anti-gay legislation back in Crazy Land, which is either Columbia, South Carolina, or Washington, D.C. But there are some Republicans who are going after him, and they're saying publicly in various forums that, you know, because Lindsey Graham is gay, he is being blackmailed into voting a certain way or saying certain things. The part of that story that is highly offensive to me is the fact that the other Republicans who are doing this to him are doing it strictly for political gain. They, you know, they no more care about Lindsey Graham's sexual orientation than they care about, you know, the price of Roquefort cheese at the local Winn-Dixie. What they want to do is destroy Lindsey Graham so they can get a more hard right character to replace him. I'll have some more on this when we come back, because this really irritates the hell out of me. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Molloy.
It is 25 past the hour. So Lindsey Graham, the benighted senator from South Carolina, who is being attacked by homophobes in his own party, not even formally outing him, but making references to his sexual orientation from a political point of view. And one of the reasons most recently is because Graham said the other day he thinks Arizona's new immigration law is unconstitutional and that, quote, it doesn't represent the best way forward, end quote, when it comes to addressing illegal immigration. He added, however, that the law reflects, quote, what good people will do, end quote, when they're left with no other options. Speaking at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing with Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, who is the former governor, of course, of Arizona, Graham said Congress eventually needs to tackle immigration reform, but it'll be impossible to achieve reform until citizens in states like Arizona feel the borders are secure. And he added, quote, in this environment, there's no hope of it passing, end quote. And a sheriff, who's the sheriff, Kathy, in southern Arizona, in a county, a county that borders right up against Mexico, he said today he will not be enforcing this law. And he's not of Hispanic descent. He has a European-sounding name. But what happens, and it happens all the time, if you are a Republican and you have something in your life that you would just as soon not have people know, and for the most part, that is either you're cheating or your spouse or you happen to be gay. The happen to be gay part will come out as a result, especially if you're a senator like Lindsey Graham, who is gets a lot of attention. You will be outed by members of your own party. And you will be outed for a political reason in order to destroy you in your home state. These people who are talking about Lindsey Graham are doing so because they themselves are homophobic and they know that so many of the voters in a good Christian state like South Carolina are also homophobic. And so therefore, painting him with that brush or outing him in the smarmy way that these Republicans are doing you know, at these forums, well, I don't care if Lindsey Graham happens to be homosexual. I just wish he'd come out and talk it, say it, so they couldn't keep blackmailing him. You know, that kind of thing. Rancid bastards. I swear to God. I swear to God. Oh, well. You know, live by the sword, die by the sword, right? Is that right, Lindsey? Warren is in Revere, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius. Hello, Warren.
How you doing, Mike?
All right. How about you?
Oh, all right. I'd like to wish your wife good luck tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I forgot to do that when she screened me there, but you made a comment yesterday, and I didn't manage to get in, but you were kind of on the same line today a little bit. About like how you wish that the American people maybe could have a moment of Jungian collective consciousness and just get sick of this crap.
Uh-huh.
You know, all this far-right teabagger.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call them anymore because it seems like there's like 100 factions. There's neocons, there's corporatists, there's Jesus freaks, there's teabag freaks, you know.
Well, there's a collective noun that you can use.
Yeah.
And it's losers.
I agree with that. But one of the characteristics, right, of fascism, you know, I know you probably know a little bit about old Mussolini.
Oh, yeah.
The original symbol of fascism was a bundle of sticks tied together with over and under axe heads.
Right.
That says a lot. You know,
That's where the word comes from, actually.
Sure, yeah. You know, kind of like bringing a bunch of disparate elements together, and they're stronger together, all tied together, as long as they've got those kind of authoritarian axe heads around them, you know?
Right.
Ready to chop them in half at the first, you know? I mean, look what happened with the brown shirts in Germany, you know? I mean, Hitler purged them and, like, shot, you know, had them all. What was it, Night of the Long Knives?
Night of the Long Knives. That's the thing about fascism. Capitalism uses people until they're no longer usable and then kicks them to the curb. Fascism uses people until they're no longer usable and then murders them.
Yeah, and I mean, do these teabaggers really think that they're valuable to these multi billionaires? Yeah. You know, and they're multinational corporations, you know?
That's the thing. That's the thing, Warren, that I can't figure out why these teabaggers think that millionaire thugs like Glenn Beck give a damn whether they live or die. All these teabaggers are is a platform for these incipient little fascists like Glenn Beck to stand on while they spew their poison and collect the money. And the teabaggers, you know, Glenn Beck eventually will either lead them all in a mass mutual suicide, like Jim Jones, or he will just, you know, walk away with the money and disappear like so many of these turd people do. So I don't understand what the baggers get, out of identifying with Glenn Beck. I guess it's because they're such losers that they see some psychopath like Glenn Beck. Well, he's got a radio show. Well, he's got a TV show. Well, you know what? Glenn's on 9,000 radio stations, so he must be really, really smart. You know, I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to listen to him for one thing.
Right.
Can I drop a couple books real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
You ever read Escape from Freedom by Eric Fromm?
No, I've read Eric Fromm, but not that one.
Oh, well, in that one, he was writing during the Third Reich, during World War II, and he really breaks down the psychology of fascism in a way that it opened my eyes a lot.
All right.
And another good one, I think, that speaks to what's going on today is It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis.
Oh, yeah, that one I have read, yeah.
I mean, that's paling to a T right there.
The only thing, Warren, thanks. We're getting some static on your call. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in, though. The only thing about It Can't Happen Here that was a little bit, I don't want to say off-putting, but a little bit weird, was it was written in the vernacular of the times. And if you've read that book, it's just difficult. It's difficult to read because of what now feels like that stilted kind of American ease that Sinclair Lewis used. Right? That's a good sentence. That'll get you far, Mike. Carol is in San Antonio, Texas, also listening on Sirius. Hey, Carol.
Hey, Mike. This is Carol, and glad to talk to you. You have added that wonderful word to my vocabulary, and I chuckle every time I say it, rat bastard.
Oh, my God.
I hope I don't get you in trouble.
No, no, not at all. No, not at all. We're allowed to say that one, rat bastard. What is it about that phrase or that hyphenated word that is appealing to you?
I live in the land of flying monkeys, known as the state of Texas.
I see.
And we have tons of them here.
Yeah, well, I live in Georgia, dear.
I go to Atlanta often. My husband works for Hewlett-Packard, and we're over there very often. So I do know. In fact, we mark that off of places not to retire.
Right, absolutely.
But I wanted to share with you that I did call my governor today, you know, Rick the pretty hair boy, Perry.
As Molly Ives used to call him, Rick Good Hair Perry.
Yes, he is. Molly had him just tagged perfectly.
Didn't she?
But anyway, my concern is now we have a representative, a Republican from Tomball, Texas, over by Houston, and her name is Debbie Riddle, and she is going to introduce into our legislature, which only meets every other year. I don't know why that is. We've got a state, you know, just as big as can be, but we can only meet every other year. So anyhow, Debbie has this law that she wants to get passed to make an immigration statement as Arizona has.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And I knew it would be happening. But I guess what I pulled up Greg Abbott, the Attorney General's office. I pulled up David Dewhurst, who is our Lieutenant Governor, and I pulled up Rick Perry's website. And I thought, oh, dear, we've got this big problem here in Texas. We're just going to have illegals just, you know, they're just overrunning this place.
Right.
And surely the governor is aware of it. Couldn't find a damn thing on his his webpage. It's hidden there, but you have to really click around to get to it. So I called the governor and I said, you know, if you all weren't such big hypocrites, I could believe that maybe this is an issue. But I said, I live in a city where 65% of the population are Hispanic.
Right.
So we're going to be, you know, picking up lots of people. The police are Hispanic, so I don't know if they'll be picking each other up.
And you know the irony in San Antonio, that's where the Alamo is, isn't it?
Absolutely, and what a degradation of that great monument. But the whole thing is, Mike, is unless we approach it from the fact, you know, we have this place called the Colonias.
Carol, hold on a second. I want to hear the rest of what you got to say, but I have got to break here for some commercials. See if we can pay a few bills. Stay right there, Carol. We'll come back in a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone.
Gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, and we're talking with Carol in San Antonio, Texas. All right, where were we? You called everybody, and you told them they were hypocrites in Texas state government because these damn immigration laws.
Well, they are. It's a joke, Mike. I've been here 20-some years of my life, and we've invited these people in ever since World War II when we established the colonias and said, we need you guys to come up and work these ranches.
Now, what are the colonias?
The colonias is a place down in the Rio Grande Valley, and it's been down there for about 40-some years where we have really displaced and disenfranchised every brown person that we ever wanted to come and work the ranches and the agricultural side of our business here.
Mm-hmm.
And these places were sold to Mexicans, illegals and legals, basically.
They're like big slum
yes.
city. Okay,
yes.
Now I know what you're talking about. I think I read something about this some time ago in Mother Jones. Yeah, they don't have running water. They don't have electricity unless it's bootleg electricity. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
and so for us to sit here as citizens of Texas and say that we're disturbed about illegals is the biggest joke in the world. These people come in. They work hard. Many of them, they're just abused from one side of the border to the other. Their own country does nothing for them.
Right.
And then they come to America to try and just live and make a living because they can't make one down there. And basically, we abuse them by not paying them, cheating them out of their money. We got peach farmers up here in Fredericksburg, Texas, and they fly planes down and pick these people up and bring them in.
Sure.
And I'm tired of if we're going to fix this, then we need to sanction employers who hire them. We need to give them a pass. If they're already here, I don't know how you deport 12 to 20 million, whoever's numbers is right on that.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, we got to hold Mexico's feet to the fire. We've given them NAFTA. We're sending our tax dollars down there. We're importing into their country all of our weapons to fight all this border stuff with the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we put two of our own border agents in prison when they shot one of those Toledo rat bastards coming over with marijuana, shot him in the butt, and then that guy got off, and they put the border agents in prison
right.
for a couple of years.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, we were talking about this last night, and I think it was last night or the night before. The best thing that we could do to end the immigration situation, if that's the goal, is to rescind NAFTA, get rid of NAFTA. I mean, that was something
right.
that Bush, Clinton, and Bush II did and I think Clinton has more or less had second thoughts about this now, but it's been horrible. And the other thing is to declare that American-grown marijuana all marijuana, I guess, is legal. I'm not, I have a real problem with drugs, with hard drugs, but marijuana to me is a damn plant. I mean, let's make bananas illegal.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we could just get the Senate and the House of Representatives of this country to smoke a doobie every day. We might get something done.
You crack me up, Carol.
Well, I'm learning from the master, you and Tom Hartman.
Well, you've got a couple of crazy people you're listening to. Huh?
Well, I love you both, and good luck to you and your good wife tomorrow. I hope everything goes for the best.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Carol, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. Take care, okay?
Okay. Take care of yourself, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. I like her. I really do. She's the kind of person. You can just tell about people the way they sound. We have a lot of listeners like that we hear from, but you can just tell that Carol is somebody you'd like to just go have a glass of sweet tea with. That's a drink here in the South, sweet tea. Remember, one of the times we went to New York City and we went to a restaurant on the Upper East Side and said, can we get a glass of sweet tea? And they looked at us like we were from Venus.
Yeah, I mean, if you order tea in the South, it's sweet.
Sweet tea.
Period.
Right.
You have to ask for unsweet tea.
Right. Right. I remember one time I was traveling near Dublin, Georgia. Had some car trouble, and some good folks in Dublin, Georgia picked me and the person I was traveling with picked us up. And we had to send all the way up to Macon, Georgia to get the part because they didn't have it in Dublin, Georgia. So we spent the night at these folks' homes. They just opened up their home to us, their trailer home. But, they had an extra room back there. They said, we all can stay here while we wait for this part to come in. We said, well, that is really kind. So the person I was with said, and she was from New Zealand, kind of English-like. in her habits. And she said, the woman that owned the trailer said, can I get y'all something to drink? And Vicky said, could I have a cup of tea? And the woman said, why, sure. I knew what was going to happen. So this woman reached up in her cupboard, and she brought down a jar of Nestea instant tea with lemon flavoring already in it. And the English don't drink lemon in their tea, whether they're English in Australia. Now, don't, if you're listening to Australia, don't get all pissed off. You know, I know you don't want to be referred to as pommies, but you know, people are influenced. Canadian, Australian, New Zealand, you know, whatever. Indian. So anyway, this woman brought down this jar of Nestea instant tea powder and threw a couple teaspoons in this drinking glass and put it under the faucet and filled it up with water, stirred it up and handed it to Vicky. And Vicky looked at me like, you know, you Americans are bloody well crazy. You're all insane. Every one of you is absolutely mad. So Vicky, being the polite immigrant that she was, just sat there and drank the stuff. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. We are talking about the usual nonsensical things we talk about every night, right? A couple of emails here. This is from the Foxhole Atheist. Hi, Mike. I was just thinking about these new fascist laws that mandate folks to show me the papers. I was stationed in Texas for a year and a half. There's a large population of U.S. citizens who happen to be of Spanish descent serving in the military. I wonder what's going to happen when off-duty soldiers are rounded up and deported because of these new laws. Just a thought. Yeah. And Mark in San Francisco. Subject line, forget Kansas. What the hell is the matter with Oklahoma? Greetings, Mike. You and I know that these Oklahoma laws only apply to the poor and lower middle class, otherwise known as the soon-to-be poor. He's referring to those anti-abortion laws. No, Mark writes, the wealthy daughters and wives victimized by rape, incest, or just cursed with an unwanted pregnancy will find a licensed, competent doctor who will perform the necessary procedure privately. No problem. Now, for the rest, they're just fodder for the advancement of unscrupulous politicians climbing upwards on the backs of the ignorant and hopelessly backward. Mark in San Francisco. Bob the Poet from Tennessee. Hey, Bob.
Carol gives me heart. I've got a brother and his family and nephews down in Texas.
Yeah.
To know she's down there makes me feel a little better.
Doesn't she sound like a nice person?
Certainly does. Certainly
really,
does.
Really does.
And I certainly hope you remember remember to breathe and hope things are better than what you fear for tomorrow. And
yeah, well,
get through it, okay?
Yeah, no, we're you know, we've got a pretty good heart, dude. We have good insurance through my union, and we're pretty confident this procedure will go off as planned. It's about a 4 or 5 hour situation, and then we'll be finished with it.
Well, and being a poet, I'd rather think of Valentine's and
right
when it comes to heart. So.
I hear that. So
hey,
would we, so would we, and so would we, and we're not poets.
Well, I want to talk about Arizona. You know, they I understand they have some kind of immigration problem over there.
Oh, you hear that? You've heard that somewhere?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I think I heard that first in 1947 when I first visited. The local people that were there, of course, they were kind of, the ones that I knew were descended from immigrants, too, because Cortez and his band, as it spread out, kind of were the first unwelcome immigrants into Arizona. You know, the Indians out there used to do a nomadic thing. They could tell by what kind of plant was growing at a particular place in a semi-arid part of Arizona, how deep down you'd have to dig to find water. They knew where on a certain time to plant a little bit of corn, and it would make it. And they made their rounds. But then these immigrants kept coming. In 1947, there weren't too many, but they had started this, like, a retirement thing. The people from the East and the Northwest and Midwest, you know, that had asthma problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Would want to move to Arizona because it was a dry climate.
And they were all light-skinned.
Well, the most of the people up there that were in the factories at that time were.
Yeah.
And there was a migration from the South that was filling in the jobs of the people that were leaving to retire down in Arizona. And I think that this white influx is the real immigration problem. It's a terrible environmental impact on the area. The Phoenix, when I first went there, was small town. I had a great aunt there. It was a town, you know, and now it's a huge metropolis, and the aquifer and everything is getting drained. It's certainly not these few visitors that we have now that is the most threatening to the environment.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And I think people in Arizona, older people, by that I mean culturally older, or older in a civilizational sense, who've been there for millennia, or whose genetic material has been there a lot longer than the pale faces. I think those folks understand exactly what you're talking about. You know, yeah, they have an immigrant problem. But it didn't start this year or last year, and it's not because of Mexican workers trying to find a job. It's much deeper than that. You're absolutely right, Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thank you. I appreciate your checking in tonight, Bob. Take care, and thanks for the good wishes for tomorrow. We'll do that just fine. Thanks, Bob. Ignacio is in Chicago, listening online.
Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Man, I'm a little agitated here. So first off, I want to say I'm a big fan of yours. Used to listen when you used to be over here at WLS.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Chicago. Great times, and you have educated me throughout the years. However, reason I'm agitated is because of, to some degree, what's happening in not only Arizona, but throughout the United States, as a matter of fact. Even here in the border, the surrounding counties in Illinois.
Right.
I'm beginning to feel like a Jew living in Germany in 1934.
Oh, that's understandable.
I hate to say this. I hear a lot of progressives and liberals chuckle when they talk about illegal immigrants and the legals and the illegals, because I tell you what, it sounds like white people in the South talking about the good niggers and the bad niggers, And the first thing I want to very, very clearly state is that the usage of the word illegal, to many of us, is an extraordinarily racist and a derogatory term.
Oh, sure.
The term should be the correct, because actually the fact of the matter is that legally, nobody who's here without any authorization to be here, you know, legally or without any authorization to work here, is basically an undocumented alien or a worker without any authorization to work, a work permit.
Right.
So to call them illegals is basically, it's a slur. It's a pejorative term that's used to distance the humanity of the people. I heard the other day here in Chicago, somebody was saying, well, you know, I really sympathize with those landowners, the farm owners who's having people trample on their land. And I'm thinking, are you for real? You care more about a farmer or a large rancher who has territory, land, money, and you're more concerned about the property rights of that person than the actual people who are in many cases starving to death in Mexico? Another thing that I wanted to bring up, because, you know, Carol, you surprised me, Mike, when you said that Carol was sounding like a wonderful woman that you'd love to sit down and have coffee or tea with. I found her to be extraordinarily patronizing and backhanded racist in some of her comments. When she made some comment about how the Alamo was a great symbol. A symbol of what? White imperialism?
Well,
racism,
no, I don't think that's what she meant at all.
I think that's what she meant. Now, I could be wrong.
Wait, Ignacio. There's no doubt in my mind that you're wrong. You completely misheard her.
Maybe I did.
No, there's no maybe here. And I can understand why. I hear your anger. I understand your anger to the extent that I can, since I am not Latino. I hear your anger. But I don't think that it's a good idea to so quickly jump when you hear people using phrases that, because we don't know. There's a lot of white people that don't understand, and I think it's incumbent. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back after the break. It's incumbent for white people to be educated. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. White people had to be educated about black issues, had to be educated about, Christians had to be educated, the progressive ones, about what happened in Germany to the Jews, on and on and on. Life is a process of education. So I hear your anger, in so many ways it's justified, but I know you misheard Carol. Ease up a little bit until you have taken some time to educate those of us who use the wrong terms. We'll be right back. Stay there, Ignacio. I'll come back to you.
Up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. We are talking with Ignacio, who's in Chicago. All right,
yes,
where were we?
Okay, well, you were just correcting the kind of the attitude where I was coming from.
Yeah.
Because I believe that you were asking me to be more understanding of perhaps some of the ignorance or just the simple fact.
Well, not understanding in the sense of tolerating it, but or accepting it, but understanding in getting the fact that this country is in a huge transition right now.
Yes.
Not just economically, but ethnically, racially. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that are happening, and it's whiplash. I think that's part of what's driving these poor, miserable teabaggers is they are rigid. They're not like reeds that can bend in the wind. They're more like saplings, and they're going to break. And they won't bend. They won't understand that this country is in a huge transitional period. So all I'm saying is people who have the knowledge, like you do, should be more inclined, in my opinion, more inclined to help people understand. If they choose not to understand, then screw them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to me, it's at least make the effort. I used to make an effort with conservatives until I realized, screw them.
Right.
But at least make the effort.
And I mean, yeah, no, I totally agree with what you're saying, and absolutely, I think one of the most, I think the difficulties for me is that I see that we're headed into a crisis period. As I think somebody else said earlier in the show, that now there's talk about maybe something like this being passed in Texas. There was an ad that was running in Alabama by some, I believe it was, of course, a Republican.
Yeah, we played it tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is happening at to my, again, and I do really, really sincerely mean this because I've studied the Nazi period in German history.
Yeah.
And it's concerning to me when things are happening. And, you know, you're very right. I don't hear that many Mexicans, and I really use the term Mexican because we're not rounded up as Latinos, you know, we're rounded up as Mexicans.
Right.
You know, I've read this piece over on Yahoo News about how there are people that used to stand by, the Home Depots and whatnot are being yelled at by people that drive by, go back to Mexico. They're not saying go back to the place where Latinos come from, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, what language do Latinos speak? They don't speak Latin. I took 4 years of Latin. That's not what Latinos speak. So my point is that there is and I lay the blame on this at the feet of a lot of the educated Mexican-American Chicanos that went to school in the 60s and 70s and 80s, got their PhDs, and then hightailed it out of the political arena to continue a civil rights movement that was very irresponsible in allowing this idea that, well, the Mexicans that are coming across the border now, well, they're not like us because they're not educated like us.
Right.
I wanted to touch on another thing that's very important that Carol mentioned about how and again, maybe I will agree with you that I completely misheard what she said, misunderstood what she said.
Yeah.
When she said that, well, we gave them NAFTA and, you know, and the Mexican government has completely betrayed the Mexican people in the United States because for decades it has allowed the system, the socioeconomic system in Mexico to go to pot.
Right.
And yes, of course, I think you understand and a lot of other listeners understand that the Mexican socioeconomic political structure is subject to the American political and economic necessities of cheap labor. NAFTA was not for the movement of populations between Canada, United States, and Mexico. It was a movement to move capital.
Oh, sure.
I believe in my concept of immigration justice, not immigration reform, but immigration justice, there should be, as it is in the European Union, the free movement of Mexicans, Canadians, and Americans, a free passage between the three countries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you stated earlier, because we are in a state of incredible flux, we are states like Arizona and New Mexico and Texas, states like Alabama, Georgia, where there was never the kind of Mexican immigration or even Chinese or Native or Indian migration or immigration to those countries or to those states, excuse me, that there is all of a sudden this sense of loss of white entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
That, for as you understand very clearly, this was a country that for hundreds of years was ruled by the paradigm of white supremacy.
Well, that's true. And to give that up for
many people.
Yeah, in the collective consciousness of white people. And there's really nothing being given up. It's the illusion of power. White folks have not had power. The white beneath the white elites, nobody has had power in the longest time. But one more thing, I've got to move on, Ignacio, and don't be a stranger. I want to hear from you more often. But Carol's reference to NAFTA was not, oh, what a wonderful gift we gave to Mexico. Not at all. Carol understands NAFTA. And like I say, a lot of times I get people on this program, like Carol, who use irony, statements of irony, statements of sarcastic statements, phrases like rat bastard. I don't know where she got that term. And they know exactly what they're saying. And a lot of people can miss because sometimes we are too literalist in the way we listen. So that's all I wanted to say. I let callers speak for themselves, but I just want to make sure you understand that she was being entirely sympathetic or understanding to what's going on. She's she's a smart woman. She's smart the way you are, Ignacio. Although, you know, no white person can have, I can't, she can't, no European can have the understanding that people of color have. But, you know, we get it intellectually. Thanks, Ignacio. I appreciate what you had to say.
Sí.
radio right. From the left, it's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, Irish Dave writes in, Mike, my mother, a California native, thought my second wife, a native of Ecuador, spoke Mexican, while my New York friends were sure she spoke Puerto Rican. LOL. Or not. Tonight's trivia fact from Irish Dave, Hispanic was created and used widely by Nixon and his minions for the 1970 census. Bob Kincaid of HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. I know a lot of you are familiar with it. If you're not, you should go there. Hell, the website is worth the trip. The program is great. Anyway, Bob Kincaid writes, Mike, listening to Ignacio speak to immigration issues reminds me that the whole concept of Latino is a brownwash. The fact is, the folks the sorry, miserable, right-wing, xenophobic fascists are complaining about are peoples whose ancestors have been here in excess of 12,000 years. Latino allows us to pretend that they are as European, as alien to this land as we are. What a sick lie. When our side learns to start asking, why do you want to cheat the Indians again, we will make progress. After all, this is just one more sickening attempt to shove a native populace with a 12,000-year-old history of nomadic lives into a smaller, tighter, meaner corner. Bob. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. As a matter of fact, you can hear Bob's program if you stay with us, if you're listening through the streaming from WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can hear Bob's program after ours. He's on before we are, but White Rose Society rebroadcasts his program every night. As far as these immigration laws, so-called, seven states are considering these. Think Progress has got this out there. So does Digby's website, several. Utah, there's a bill requiring immigrants to carry proof of status, require law enforcement officers to question anyone they believe is in the country illegally, and target employers who hire or transport undocumented immigrants. The status of this bill in Utah, the legislation still has to be drafted, but Representative Stephen Sandstorm, how's that for a name, Republican, claims he, quote, has the support to do it, end quote. Georgia. Right here, Nathan Deal, a racist son of a bitch, if ever one existed here in Georgia. Nathan Deal is running for governor. He wants to propose legislation that mirrors Arizona's. The status of that bill is tentatively pending Nathan Deal's election. I don't think he's going to get elected. Colorado. Colorado's gubernatorial candidate, Scott McGinnis, Republican, said that if he were governor, he would seek to pass something very similar to what Arizona enacted. The status of that is tentatively pending McGinnis's election. Maryland, State Delegate Pat McDonough, Republican, plans to start sending a survey to every candidate for the General Assembly, along with the candidates for governor, asking them whether they agree with Arizona's approach. The status of that, McDonough's survey will start being circulated this week as he hopes to, quote, know who is in favor of the Arizona bill and who is not, end quote, by the summer. Well, you know where he stands. Ohio. Butler County Sheriff Rick Jones and Ohio Representative Courtney Combs, Republican, sent a letter to Governor Ted Strickland asking him to employ his leadership role to assure legislation is passed that will mirror Arizona's. The status of that, Strickland's press person says he, quote, hasn't had an opportunity to review Arizona laws, concerned it might be unconstitutional. North Carolina. Local anti-immigrant groups claim that lawmakers have told them that, quote, the chances similar legislation will be filed here is over 95%. Status, the same groups also concede that such legislation won't get far in North Carolina. Texas. This is what Carol was talking about. Texas State Representative Debbie Riddle of Tomball says she plans to push for a law similar to Arizona's. Texas also, Farmers Branch, a Dallas suburb, 30,000 people passed an ordinance written by this racist group, their lawyer, Chris Kobach, which would prevent landlords from renting houses or apartments to undocumented immigrants. The status of that, last month, U.S. District Judge ruled the ordinance unconstitutional. Missouri, the state legislature is considering a law, likely written by Chris Kobach, guy from Texas, that would make it unlawful for any person to conceal, harbor, transport, or shelter, quote, illegal aliens, end quote, and would also make it a crime for undocumented immigrants to transport themselves. Status, this bill has been referred to the Missouri State International Trade and Immigration Committee. Oklahoma, proposed legislation restrict the ability of undocumented immigrants to obtain IDs or public assistance, give police authority to check the status of anyone arrested, and make it a felony to knowingly provide shelter, transportation, or employment to the undocumented. And I thought Oklahoma was full of Christians. This is just absolutely ripping Jesus Christ's tongue out, stomping it on the floor. Because if he said anything, he talked about this. They are. They're prying their Savior's mouth open, reaching inside, grabbing his tongue and his teeth and tearing them out and stomping on them. You crazy bastards. And Nebraska. Residents in Fremont, Nebraska likely will vote in July on a proposed ordinance to ban the, quote, harboring, end quote, hiring and renting to undocumented immigrants. Status of that, last Friday, the Nebraska Supreme Court upheld a lower court's ruling that there was no authority to stop an election on the ordinance following a petition filed by this Kobach bastard again. So there you have it. I mean, in so many of these cases, they are defying the rules of their Judeo-Christian deity. You know, Yahweh himself instructed these sick sons of bitches. I'm sorry, I know I promised not to use certain words again, but this is really making me angry. You know, because these people, if they do anything, they profess their Christianity, profess it, they'll slam you in the chops with it. And yet, their God and their God's son both specifically and clearly told them not to do this. Anything remotely resembling this. This is how they spit on their own deities. They do. They're not about Christianity. They are not about godliness. They are about using their deities, their religion, to punish and hurt and torture and exploit whomever they choose to. Oh, and also to round up an awful lot of money from those who agree with this stuff. But I'm just telling you, you know, from an atheist point of view, because I understand your religion a hell of a lot better than you people do, you fundamentalist Christians, trust me on that one. But you are spitting on your own deity. You are cursing. You know, people say I shouldn't use the word goddamn because it takes the Lord's name in vain. You people are defiling. I mean, you're doing the worst thing you can. There was specific instructions. I quoted it to you out of your own book where your God himself warned you not to do this. And as far as you're concerned, the rabbi that wandered around the Middle East that you claimed was that God's son also warned you not to do it. You people are setting yourselves up to burn for eternity in your own constructed hell. You understand that? You people are crazy. I mean, the whole religion thing is madness anyway. But how can you profess to follow this deity that you created and his son that you invented, and yet you spit on their very words? How do you do that? How do you do that and not tremble in fear that your deity is not going to come thundering out of the sky and rip your ass into a million pieces, burn your home, salt the earth where you used to live, and curse your progeny for the next 2,000 generations? You people are nuts. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. You Christian fundamentalists who on the one hand profess this sick belief and on the other hand turn around and spit in the eyes of both your God and your God's son. Phony bastards. And people wonder why I am anti-religion. Whew. Good Lord. You know, I'm not defending any religion here, because I think they all are just weird as hell. But you really don't hear, okay, here we go. You really don't hear Jews and Muslims doing this, do you? Huh? Well, what about Palestine? Okay. But you really don't hear Jews and Muslims talking about, you know, unless the immigrant comes with guns and bombs and, oh, hell, I don't know. Don't get me involved in this. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that old phrase is back now. My people used to be called WOPs, W-O-P, WOP, without papers. We'll be right back. Remember when that was a popular song on the radio, 10 before the hour. J.S. writes, one devout Jew who hates immigrants, William Crystal. Yeah, I don't mean to imply. I'm talking about the, you know, people who practice. Oh, never mind. I said I'd take it all back. I just don't want to get into it. It's just the fundamentalist Christians are the ones who you know, as much as Crystal may hate immigrants, he doesn't... Or does he operate or try to operate as someone to get this kind of legislation passed? Hold on. George in Oregon writes, Mike, just to add something to what Ignacio said earlier, it's all about benefiting the oligarchy. NAFTA was about giving the oligarchy more power, and all of us, Canadians, Americans, and Mexicans, less power. Mexico has been ruled by a corrupt oligarchy longer than the United States has, so we'll... We're just beginning to learn how it works. The oligarchy here wants to exploit the, quote, illegal, end quote, labor from Mexico. And since they're, quote, illegal, they won't dare to complain. That's why there's no enforcement against businesses who hire them, pay them peanuts, and treat them generally like slaves. I was in Seattle in 99 for the World Trade Organization protests. It slowed them down, but it didn't stop them. We heard speakers from all over the world who had the same message. It's all about enabling the oligarchy that now runs the empire. I also got to see how our joke of a media paid no attention to the 40,000 or so peaceful protesters who showed up at none of the rallies, only to chase a couple of dozen criminals that were taking advantage of the situation, burning dumpsters and breaking windows. And media reported that as the news. George in Oregon. Tough times, huh? Tough times. Alfredo is in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. Alfredo, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, just to let you know that I'm one of those, I used to be one of those illegal immigrants back in 1985.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear this Arizona people saying that, you know, it has nothing about color. Nothing about skin color, nothing about Latinos, it's just about illegal immigrants, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, let me tell you about my story. You know, I'm Mexican from the city, I'm white, blue eyes, but I'm still Mexican, right?
Right.
When I first came to this country, you know, it was very unlike for me to get discriminated,
mm-hmm.
right? Just for the simple fact that I'm white, right?
Right.
And when they say something like, oh, you know what, it's not about the skin color or anything like that, it's just totally, everything's like, you know, totally a joke, right? Because I never got pulled over. Most of my friends got, when, you know, before we used to cross the border or go to a PJ party over there and come back. Most of my friends have papers, born in this country and everything, and they used to get stopped by the people there. And myself, since I was white, you know, they're like, oh, we're from U.S. citizen, no, come on in, that's it.
Right.
You know, that's one thing. The other thing, I didn't, you know, when I first I started working in 1985, I went to high school here. Okay? That's why I used to take ESL classes and all stuff, you know, English as a second language.
Right.
And I started working, you know, made my way all the way up. Now I'm a business owner. I'm an employer, you know, I got most of my employees, you know, I hate to say it, but the ones with papers, you know, with documents and everything, those are the lazy ones. And the ones with, you know, I don't know if it's correct to say, but, you know, I got three,
undocumented workers?
Yes, however you say it. And they double their work, you know, and we pay same amount of money. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna pay on this, but the other ones, and those are gonna be getting all the full benefits and all that stuff. Nah, nothing like that.
Right.
And then you can tell, like, they're here to work. When they're like people complaining about immigrants coming to this country to take their jobs, that's BS.
Oh, sure.
You know what? It's just they're just leaving their jobs. They don't like their jobs. You know, like, okay, well. Right now, you know, there's like a lot of factories closing up for business. A lot of the U.S. citizens, they got the fortune to get their what's called unemployment benefit. Guess what? An immigrant or illegal alien, they can get no benefits, right? Although they're taking taxes on their check, and they never get to see it. Just like me, 15 years, from 1985 to 2000, I never got to see any income tax. Okay, I never got my money back. And I'm telling you because I used to be one of those guys, and I know how the game is played here in this country, you know?
Sure.
And you can see, you can hear all these people saying, you know what, you guys are like here, living free, taking advantage of our system, getting all our services. BS. If you ever don't have a Social Security card, there's no way you can get welfare. If you don't have a Social Security card, because I tried that myself. Right?
Yeah.
If you don't have a Social Security card or like a real Social Security number, there's no way you can get unemployment. Although you worked for all those years, there's no way you can get unemployment.
Hey, Alfredo, listen,
yes.
I really enjoy what you're saying. The fact is, we're out of time. We have got to get out of here. I appreciate what you had to say. And, you know, I hope you'll call in again because this situation is not going to, quote, go away, end quote. It just isn't. And, you know, I'm concerned as a citizen of this country. It doesn't make any difference what my color is or my ethnic or racial background or, you know, what I believe or don't believe. I am a citizen here, by virtue of birth. I have family members who were citizens here by virtue of getting their papers in order, because they were immigrants. And, this situation is not going to resolve on its own. It's going to take some leadership that we don't have in this country now. So anyway, if you you know, if English is your second language or whatever, I'd like to hear from you. We'll be off tomorrow night. Brad Friedman will be in here for us. We'll see you Friday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.